I don't know why I always want to say morning. I do that all Sabbath day. Welcome to the Heatheridge 6th Ward Sacrament Meeting, and especially for those who are visiting for the first time. Bishop Misbach is presiding, and he's asked me, Brother Roberts, to conduct. As it relates to announcements, if you would look into in your announcement or your bulletin there, we have Max Roberts' Eagle Project this Saturday. It's a fun run. So if you want more information, please look at the announcement there. The opening hymn will be on page 302, I Know My Father Lives. And the invocation will be offered by Brother McKay Perkins.
Our dear Father in heaven, we're thankful that we could be here at church today and to renew our covenants and partake of the sacrament and to hear thy gospel taught to us by our teachers. We ask thee to bless us to keep the gospel as a priority in our lives so that we might understand thee and we might understand how to come closer to thee. We're thankful for Jesus Christ. We know that it is through him that repentance and coming back home to thee is possible. We ask thee to bless us that we might be more like him and that we might get to know our neighbors well and treat them with kindness and love and respect, and also those that are not our neighbors, that we might learn to have a deeper love and respect for them. Please bless us to pattern our lives more after thee and thy Son. And we say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have a few items of business. We've called the following individuals. Please stand when your name is read. Allison Dupree as a Miami-Maid advisor, and Michelle Townsend as the Relief Society chorister. We propose that they be sustained. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Any opposed by the same sign. Thank you. You may be seated. We have some new, we've received some new records of members. If they could stand when I read out their names. Colton, Clarissa, and Nixon Stoddard. Jordan and Tavia Red, Donald Woolley, Veronica Woolley, and Chad and Melanie DeVore. Those who wish to welcome these members into full fellowship in the Heatheridge 6th Ward may do so by the uplifted hand. Thank you. Well, I'd like to bear my testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ and my belief. As I was pondering that in preparation for today, I've thought a lot about the blessings we have, not just the gospel, but the church and the structure we have. You know, having a modern day prophet to rely on, but also our local leaders, President Evans and the presence, the stake presidency, all the way down to our ward. And I appreciate the commitment and the love that Bishop Misbach has for all of us. And it's been a joy to work with him and Brother Beckstead. And And I do appreciate very much all the support the members provide. And as we meet to give callings or to ask to give talks and things like that, we really appreciate all the support. And the power that exists within a ward is amazing. As you get to know individuals, their backgrounds, their thoughts, their testimonies, it's all so powerful. And that's all for a purpose. It's to help all of us grow in our testimony and our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful system that we have. And I know sometimes we can get caught up in the tactical things we do. But the blessings is the fact that we are a ward family here to help each other grow and develop. I also have a great testimony of the scriptures. My favorite is always the Book of Mormon, but for the last few months I've been studying the New Testament and been actually taking time to study it, and you know, with a guide and a guidebook, and it's been really helpful. I'm right during the period of time where Paul is a missionary, and it's remarkable the similarities that you will find reading his accounts as you would the missionaries within the Book of Mormon. But, you know, here's someone that was persecuting the church and became a great advocate, a great missionary, sacrificing his life to help move the church forward during that period of time. And you know, reading the scriptures gives you greater, I think, insights into the plan. But also it really helps cause you to reflect. And I know as I, you know, read these stories, I kind of challenge myself thinking, am I really doing enough for my salvation? Am I doing what it takes? And again, these are extreme, you know, Paul's mission was quite a undertaking. The many miles, thousands of miles that he traveled, and the testimonies he bore, and the persecution he had to endure. But that's the beauty of having the scriptures. It allows us to reflect on our life and to grow and to learn more about the gospel and the plan that has been put in place, and the role that Jesus Christ plays within that. And I appreciate that and very much have a very strong testimony of the value of that. I have a testimony of the power of prayer and what it can do for us in helping us and guiding us. I have a great testimony of the importance of family, and I do appreciate my family and the blessings it brings to me, and also the opportunities to grow. It definitely is a growth opportunity as your family progresses, as your kids get older, as you move into different stages. We are at that stage of expecting our first grandchild, which is exciting. But it's hard to imagine your child having a child. So we're going through that process. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is beautiful. The structure that's been put in place is for us to help us grow. It's a very troubling time, but but also the fact that we know the plan and we understand the gospel can bring us great joy and great excitement each day that we have an opportunity to be here. We chose that opportunity, and it allows us to progress and once again return to our Heavenly Father. And I do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the time is yours. We'd like to conclude the last testimony at 5 after the hour.
Brothers and sisters, I know a few of you, but very few now. I used to live here in the Provo-Orem area, and Orem in particular, and I felt impressed that I wanted my daughter, Joni Lee Bennett, and her husband, Rex, to hear me bear my testimony of the truthfulness of the gospel. As a convert, I was taught the gospel 60 years ago in Yellowstone Park by a young missionary who had just returned from his parents' homeland in Sweden on his mission. And it's within 30 days or less, right about 30 days of 60 years ago, that I was baptized in the baptismal font on Temple Square, located below the main floor of the tabernacle. President David O. McKay was the prophet of approximately 1 million members of the church at that time. Indeed, we are seeing a stone rolling down without hands, filling the earth. The work is progressing. The gospel is as true now as it was 60 years ago. I have been on a little mini pilgrimage. I was born and raised in Moscow, Idaho, way up north. And my previous wife is resting in the Orem Cemetery from her passing some 8 or 9 years ago. And after I remarried my wife, Rosita, and I live in Texas, in Dallas area, we are both involved in genealogy, of which we have a testimony. I serve currently Fridays and Saturdays on shift one at the Dallas Temple, and she served for a time, but then felt more inclined to have a closer relationship with a prophet by the name of Elijah. And I can't tell you how many nights she wakes up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning with names going through her head. Gets up, goes on the computer, and what a marvelous blessing it is for us to have the blessings of the advances in genealogical research with the computers, with family tree. My, she has some of her ancestors for which she and I are both doing the work for in the temple, going back to the Mayans in the 1600s. We might give a little prayer of thanks for some of those Catholic priests back in those early years for the efforts that they made in helping to preserve the names and dates of ancestors, and indeed throughout the world. We spent quite a bit of time, of which I bear a testimony and a witness, of the indexing program of the church. Birth records, death records, marriage records, all kinds of records that are bringing those names together. This is our day, brothers and sisters, and I'm grateful for it. I know the gospel's true. I know that President Thomas S. Monson is a prophet called of God to lead us now in this day. I sense and feel, as I'm sure all of us do, that the millennium is drawing ever closer, and the work is hastening, and we must do our part. I only make it up here about once every 6 months to a year, but I'm grateful to look at your faces and to know that the gospel is true wherever we are. In spite of my seemingly looking like I'm one of the older generation, I want you to know I am in the Duncanville YSA branch in the Dallas stake. After the stake split about 3 or 4 months ago, I was called to be branch clerk. It's helped me to keep me young. But wherever we serve and in whatever capacity we have, it all is of value to our Heavenly Father, to us, and to our family members, some of whom need encouragement, example, and we are here to provide that. We are all pioneers in this day, our day. The Book of Mormon is true. The gospel is true. The atonement of our Savior for us and all who have ever lived and ever will live on this earth is a blessing to each and every one of us. And of this I bear witness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have to ignore my shaky voice because I always shake. My testimony has grown so much in this past year, and I just needed to share it with you. A year and a half ago, the bishop called us into his office to ask us to think about, not calling us to do it, but to think about maybe serving a pathway mission and just to look it up and see what we thought. He wasn't giving us any pressure or anything, but Rick and I looked at it, and I'm teaching at BYU. Why would I want to be a recruiter for BYU Idaho? And Rick went to Rick's his first year of college, but he graduated from BYU. So why would we want to be recruiters for BYU Idaho is what we were thinking. And then we went to Costa Vida to have lunch with our friends who had just retired. And they were saying, have you ever thought of going on a mission? And Rick said, well, funny you should mention that. You know, the bishop just called us in and asked us to be pathway missionaries. And the minute he said that, this lady walked by who was a parent from Mountain View, and she had incredible children, and she said, pathway? Did you say pathway? And so she spent 20 minutes telling Rick and me how wonderful this pathway program was, and you're not recruiters for BYU Idaho. You get to work with kids here. And so we said yes, and it just was so amazing that right at that moment, she walked by to tell us what this was really about. And this past year that we've been pathway missionaries, my testimony has grown so much. At the first, we have like an institute class. I never would have gone to an institute class, but since it's part of our mission, they are amazing classes. And some of the institute teachers are amazing and some aren't so good, but the kids in the class have these testimonies that they share, and they have life experiences. These young kids have been through so much, and they help each other, and they help Rick and me too. And our testimonies have grown because of their testimonies. And we meet together to, the kids learn stuff on the computer during the week. And then we come together in math or English or just life skills. And they teach each other. And one person is a lead student and they teach the other kids. And you learn by teaching. And Rick and I have this strong testimony that this is a truly inspired program. And because of this experience, my testimony has grown so much, and the institute teacher this year challenged us to become closer to the Savior, and he challenged us to memorize the living Christ, and I've tried to think of my Savior every night before I go to bed, and I want you to know that I know that Heavenly Father sent his Son to die for us, and to atone for us, and to be an example for us. And I'm so grateful that I have the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life. It grounds me, it gives me a rock to hang on to when things get rough, and I know that my Savior lives and loves me, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I am just overwhelmed today with a sense of awe and the stunningly profound knowledge that for whatever reason we are part of in knowing that Jesus is the Christ, and for whatever reason we have been placed here in this peaceful valley. And I don't know what I have ever done or ever will do that can warrant this kind of blessing that we have in our lives to be part of something so grand as being able to, being given the opportunity, if we so choose, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to help him do this work. I truly stand all amazed at the love Jesus offers each one of us. And I am confused at why I am so blessed and have the privilege of receiving priesthood ordinances and being married to such a wonderful man and being blessed with seven beautiful children and grandchildren and being able to stand in the temple and be able to hear and repeat the promises that we have. And I also fully acknowledge that I can do much, much better in understanding what Heavenly Father and the Savior would want me to do here in Orem, Utah, to help all around the earth. And the best I can come up with most days is to keep my covenants and to praise and adore His name unfalteringly and to pray as hard as I know how for our brothers and sisters on this earth whose lives are full of turmoil or uncertainty or pain, and to just plead for the grace of the Savior to be with each of them. As I sat here this afternoon contemplating why I get to be here, surrounded by you who love the Savior with all of your hearts, it's so humbling, and I am so in love with all of you because of the lives that you're leading and the desires of your hearts that are so good and pure and true. And I know it is all centered on Jesus Christ. So truly, God be thanked for the matchless gift of His divine Son. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Suzanne Peterson, and I had the opportunity these last couple of weeks of having most of my kids and my grandchildren here. And I was watching my 3-year-old granddaughter, and we couldn't do what she wanted to do, so I gave her some suggestions. And after about 4 suggestions, she looked up at me and she goes, "Memes, I don't like any of your ideas." And I thought, how often do I go to the Lord with certain things? And He kindly looks down at me and says, "I don't like any of those ideas. Let's try this other idea." I'm grateful for a loving Father in heaven who is so patient and kind and teaches me through the good and the bad times, and He allows me to keep trying and getting better, even though there's times where I just float along and I'm not growing. But He allows me. He entertains my ideas, and then when I'm humble enough, I can entertain His ideas. And when I follow what He wants me to do, my life is always blessed. I leave you my testimony that I know God lives. I know Christ is our Savior. And I'm so grateful for the Holy Ghost And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi, my name's Clary Stoddard. My husband Colton and our baby Nixon and I just moved into the ward. And I just wanted to come up and bear my testimony and just say how grateful I am for this gospel. I have no doubt in my mind how true it is. And I'm so grateful for how simple it makes life sometimes. And just that we have that constancy and just that we can always know how few things really matter. And that we really don't need to stress about a lot of things because there's only a few that are really important and they bring us such joy. I'm so grateful for the joys of the temple and that we have so many so close. I didn't grow up in Utah and so I'm not used to it and I love it so much. I'm so grateful for the temple. I am grateful for my Savior and I know that He lives and I know that it's so important to Him and to our Heavenly Father that we know that they love us so perfectly. I know that they do, and I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful that they are so willing to overlook so much that we do, and I'm so grateful for just for all the blessings that the gospel brings in our daily lives, and I know that there's so much that our Heavenly Father does that we don't recognize and that we can't recognize, but there is so much that we can see if we take the time to look for it. And I'm really grateful for that. And I just wanted my Heavenly Father to know how much I love Him and His gospel. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good afternoon. Sorry. Good afternoon. I am so grateful to be here with you, brothers and sisters, and rub shoulders with you today and take the sacrament with you. One of the greatest... Oh, goodness. It's starting already. One of the greatest blessings in my life are the strength of the people that I rub shoulders with each week at church. I'm grateful for being organized into wards and stakes, and I'm inspired as we dwell together in our little community and we're aware of each other's struggles and each other's pains and disappointments, and we observe one another striving to live, dwelling in righteousness, striving and struggling to raise our families and to help one another and keep our covenants. And we observe people coming to church week after week and worshiping with us. And these are eloquent lives, such eloquent lives around us, and I am so inspired by the noble and great ones that I observe. You lift my burdens. You inspire me. I am proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with you as disciples of Jesus Christ, whom we serve here in the Heatheridge 6th Ward. I bear you my testimony of the Christ. He is my hope. I bear witness of the enabling power of the atonement that can help us transcend mortal weakness and sorrows and disappointments. I've been reading this week in the Book of Mormon about Alma and Amulek, Aaron, Omner, Himni, and Helaman, Creanton, and Shivon, who went to teach the Zoramites. And as they saw how wicked the Zoramites were, Alma went and knelt in prayer, and his prayer is so fascinating. He prays, he recognizes that he is going to suffer greatly because of the wickedness of the Zoramites. And yet, he knows that he must go and testify. And he prays to the Lord that he will be strengthened in the hardships that he knows will come upon him and his brethren. And he prays to the Lord to strengthen his brethren. And the fascinating part is that he said that as they go forth to serve, they did suffer. But they did not suffer anything except their sufferings were swallowed up in the joy of Christ. This is an intriguing thing to me. I've been pondering on that, to think that This life is full of hardship and disappointments. There is great joy as well, and I thank God for those pearls, that those moments of joy that sustain us. But I also acknowledge that there is great hardship and disappointment in this life. And I'm pondering on what it means to have all of those things swallowed up in the joy of Christ. And obviously, I believe that it has to do that through our faith in Jesus Christ and hope that Christ will bind up our sorrows and heal us. I do believe in the healing power of the atonement. And I have hope that these things can be done away, and that we will be lifted up out of this sorrow. I'm still pondering on this. I don't have a full knowledge of this yet, but this is what I'm pondering on now, is to have my struggles now, the things that burden me, that grieve me, to have those things swallowed up in the joy of Christ. I believe it is possible. I have hope that it is possible. I am struggling in Christ to realize that. I have hope that it's true. I have faith in the atonement of Christ. And I leave you with that, my brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
My name is Stania Brennan. And I've just enjoyed so much the testimonies that have been given today. And I can feel the strength and the truthfulness and the sincerity of these testimonies. I'm going to share with you something that's so minute, but it has blessed me this week. In April, I had an 80-gallon water heater leak in the basement. And so I've had to have workmen come in and clean up and dry up and then come in and rebuild and but the thing that really, really troubled me was, to my amazement, though, the insurance company came in and he said, well, we're going to recarpet your basement, the stair, everything, because the way the basement is configured. I thought, wow, that is wonderful. That is something I would never have ventured on my own. And so I said, well, in that case, I'll add some money to it and I'll have the two bedrooms done. But the very fact of getting ready for that was such a burden. My oldest daughter is absolutely wonderful. She works all day and she would come two or three nights a week and we'd start cleaning up this and boxing that and the DI got a lot of things And of course, Katrin's down there and she's ill. And I just thought, how are we going to do this? Well, last Monday, a week ago tomorrow, was the day. And she has a cat that she dearly loves. It's a big cat. And we have had to miss several appointments with the vet for yearly checkups because we can't catch him to put him in his carrier. And I knew I had to have him out and back to his hotel, which is the vet's, because he couldn't be there during all this traumatic going on. I thought, how are we going to catch that cat? And Katrin, bless her heart, she was up ready, and Diana came early so that she could be there in case the carpet men came. Oh. And I had prayed really hard. Well, Katrin almost got the cat. And I said, Katrin, let's just stop a minute and let's have a prayer. And I said, Heavenly Father, this is so simple, but we need to have your help now. We need to be able to have this cat be calm and get him into the carrier and that I can take him down, so he won't have to suffer through all that's going to go on in this house for the next couple of days. And I just thanked him and said, please, Heavenly Father, help us now. So the prayer was over, and the cat kind of wandered out from wherever he'd been hiding. And within 5 minutes, the cat was in the carrier. I was taking him out to the car when who should show up but the carpet layer. So I put the cat in the car, left the door open, went and talked to the carpet layers. Now, when we've done this before, the cat just, I've never heard such loud moaning, terrible sounds. He was quiet, and all the way to the veterinary, I might hear a small meow. And he went in, and I got back, and the day went by so much more pleasant than I'd ever expected. The workmen, I didn't hear any word of discord. They were so pleasant and so cooperative. And so they stayed until the job was done. It was supposed to be a 2-day job, and they said, you know, we don't do things in 2 days. We just wait. We just get it done. So the next day I was able to get up. Katrin was settled in her room. She has a problem. She doesn't sleep at night. She sleeps in the day. And so she was able to be in her room. And I went to get the cat. He was so calm. Brought him home. And he was so happy to get home. Isn't that a simple story? But it's a beautiful story. Heavenly Father heard my prayer, not only for me, but for the cat. I think he had a good time. At least it was a calm time. The message to me is, Heavenly Father hears our prayers, as simple as they might be. If he hears these sweet, simple prayers, he hears our anguish and our pleading and our pain. He really is a loving Father. He really cares. What an example he is for us to be loving fathers and mothers to our children, our grandchildren, to be loving brothers and sisters to our kin, but also we're all brothers and sisters. I have felt that in this ward. I appreciate your loving care and interest. Now my responsibility is, can I convey it back to you? I pray every day that I'll be able to convey the love that I have for you and for all of the Heavenly Father's children. There's so much ugliness and anguish in the world today, and he loves us all. I want to express my gratitude to my Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything is because of him. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. And nothing would be ever possible after this life, if it weren't for him. We owe him everything. So giving him our obedience and our worship and our love is nothing compared to what he gives us. Now, again, it's my responsibility to make sure that I do it. I express my love to you. I express my love to my Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We love Stanya. Thank you so much. That was so sweet. My name is Cami Buman. I've been a member of the ward for a decade. And I just have the silliest, most strained analogy that I just right out of the chute. I know it's silly, but it's kind of funny. And nevertheless, I did learn from it. So I thought I would share it with you because it helped me think about some things this week. Sometimes in our prayers, we say, help us apply what we learn in church to our daily lives. And this was just something that happened to me in my daily life that I remembered the gospel a little bit. So maybe I'll just share it with you. This week, my children and I and my husband had the chance to go to an amusement park. And it was super fun, super duper fun. And one of the things that they had there was a seal. A bunch of sea lions that were waiting to be fed. And they're very engaging, and we decided that we wanted to feed them. And the amusement park had for sale this nasty little carton of dead fish that you're supposed to pick up and feed the seals. And they were kind of pricey. They were kind of expensive. And so we chatted about it, kind of bickered back and forth. Should we do it? Should we do it? They're kind of expensive. There's only four fish and there's six of us. And should we do this? Well, yeah, let's do it. We're here. This will be fun. And the sea lion is just barking its head off, just begging us for us to feed it. So we laid out the cash and we got the four little fish. And Sarah took one, and Isaac was going to take one, and Emma was going to take one, and I was going to take one. And that's how we divided up our four fish, and they did not multiply. Just, I'm not going towards that analogy. There was no increase in the fish. There was only four. Okay, so we had our little container with these four dead fish, and the sea lion is, like I said, so excited. It can see us approaching with this container. And there are signs all over the park that say, be careful. The birds are aggressive. And I made a leap. I made an assumption that the birds that they were referring to were seagulls. I didn't even see these beautiful, well, I saw them, but I discounted this beautiful, beautiful crane bird. It was so pretty. It was white and it had this lovely plumage on the back of its head and it looked so friendly. And it didn't look fast. And they were a bunch of these white birds were all over these rocks as this seal barked. And Sarah took her fish, and Emma took her fish, and I took mine. Isaac took his, and we were sitting there. And I saw Isaac get ready to give his fish to the sea lion. And you know what happened? That bird came down in about 0.8 seconds, snatched that thing out of my kid's hand, and it was gone. And the same thing happened with, well, no, I think Emma successfully fed the sea lion. She tossed it out there, and the thing is rabid because it sees this bird eating its food. And Sarah kind of disappears, and I have my fish, my last fish, and I'm thinking, oh, I've got to be so careful. I've got to be careful, and I see no birds around, and this is all going to be fine. And as I pulled that fish up by its skanky little tail, got ready, about 0.8 of a second, that bird was there, and it took it right out of my hands. And I thought, well, don't I feel stupid? I had been warned. There were signs everywhere that said, the birds are very aggressive. The birds are very aggressive. Be careful. Be wise. We know you're laying out a lot of money here. Take care, because you want this feeding opportunity. Later, I said to Sarah, did you get your fish to the sea lion? She said, nah, the birds ate it. So out of the Buman family, we lost 75% of our fish to the birds, in spite of good counsel. And I know that's a very strained analogy, but for me it meant something. I thought, you know, I have a lot of good counsel in my life. And I'm just going to say some of it I am not maybe as keen or maybe as precise or maybe as obedient, maybe that's another word that we could use, in following carefully that advice or making assumptions about how it may, that good counsel may or may not affect my life or my interpretation of that counsel. For example, does family home evening mean once every 2 weeks, or am I very strictly obedient in saying, we have family home evening every Monday night. We're going to do that, or every Tuesday night, or whatever works for your family. Probably the night of the week isn't important, but the practice is. Do I make leaps in, do I do mental gymnastics in interpreting how that counsel applies to me and my family? I wonder. One thing that I do, that I had found, that I thought, you know, what good counsel from the gospel have I received that has really blessed my life? What good counsel has really changed my life? And I have to say, in the last 6 months or so, it's been reading scriptures. In the summer, my family tends not to be super terrific about family scripture reading because it just seems like our family structure falls apart. We're very diligent during the school year, and I've noticed a big difference. I've also noticed a big difference in my diligence, my personal diligence to read my scriptures, which is something that has increased tremendously over the last 6 months. That's the good counsel I'd say that I've adhered to. And I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, it is such a pleasure. It is such a pleasure for me to read the scriptures again. I've gained so much from the testimonies of Alma and from Amulek and from the family relationships of Alma with his sons and King Benjamin, I've gained so much. And when I stop to think about how these men, and primarily we know of the men that have written the scriptures, what they had to do to create those scriptures for us, I'm greatly humbled. I've learned so much from rereading the Book of Mormon and how it's blessed my life. And that's good counsel that I don't want to discard because I don't want to lose my cart in a fish. And I just encourage you to think carefully about how the scriptures have influenced your life and if there's a measure of good counsel that we could absorb more diligently or more obediently, because as I understand it, our opportunity to read the scriptures isn't something that should be optional or maybe casually observed. That's a guiding principle in our life, and it helps us navigate hard decisions and hard challenges that come up. And I'm thankful for the scriptures and primarily for the Book of Mormon and what it teaches me. And I think that it's the Word of God that came through prophets that sacrificed everything they had to bring it to us, many times their own lives. And I'm deeply grateful for that. And I leave this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My brothers and sisters, how grateful I am to be with you this afternoon. I will try to be short because of the time, but I didn't want to waste the opportunity to share my testimony to you this afternoon. Those people who don't know my name is Jonathan Tirado. I've been here for a month, actually, in the Windsor State. I'm originally from Mexico, so sorry for my accent. So sorry I don't speak the celestial language so much as you do, but we try our best with that. I have no doubt that this church is true. I have no doubt that I'm so grateful to be a member of this church, to know that we are guided by prophets and by apostles. I'm pretty grateful to know that President Nelson, we will have the privilege to hear from him next week. I can testify to you that President Nelson, as well, all the leaders of the church are called by God. I have such a great love for President Monson, for his teachings, and for his great worry for every member of this church. I have no doubt that Jesus Christ and his Father are real human beings, that they are right by our side when we need them. I say so many times, even though we can't see them, doesn't mean they're not there close to us, holding us by their hand and say, come, my son, I'm right here. You are not alone. I know that they're real. I know that one way or another, we call by prayer, they will come to us. And I want to share these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We appreciate all the wonderful testimonies that were born today, and especially for those who are visiting. We're also thankful for the music and for Sister Holland and Brother Grapes for what they do. The closing hymn will be page 137, Testimony, and the benediction will be offered by Sister Heather Holloway.
Our dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we could be at church today to hear the testimonies that have been born and to feel of thy Spirit. We are thankful for the rain that we have been receiving, and we are thankful for all the many blessings that thou hast given us. Please bless us that we might be able to continue to learn about thy gospel and to continue to feel the Spirit and to strengthen our testimonies. Please help us that we can serve others and to strengthen our families as well. Please also help us that we can find ways to share the gospel with others. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.